Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Shut up and sit down.
Hey, everybody. We are back after our little rutcation. Back from Missouri with a couple of tags in our pocket and Poison Oak covering all of our gear and our arms and neck and all of that. But had a great trip in Missouri. Back kicking into this thing full swing. Got some good episodes coming up for you. This one is, before we left, we recorded just kind of an update on our season. Kind of talked about where we're at with some of our gear, some of our encounters. It's been a fun season. Haven't got on any real good bucks. Had a couple real good encounters. But just having a blast. And just happy to be back now and kind of getting these episodes that we've got recorded, edited, and put out. Got a couple good ones coming up and a few coming up down the pike. For our Patreons, so we had talked about having a saddle that we were going to give away. Weren't sure how we were going to do it, and I think we've got that all locked in now. It's pretty much 100%. So we're going to be giving away a saddle. And the way that that's coming about is going to be donated, and it's going to be a full saddle kit with ropes, tethers, the whole works, and really excited about that. And what that's going to allow us to do is I'm going to go ahead and double down on that, and it's going to be a full saddle kit. So I'm going to get some sticks, and I think one of the platforms, the Artisan Outdoor Fabrication top step platforms. So to one of our Patreons at the end of the fourth quarter, so right about the first of the year, sometime after Christmas, we're going to draw from one of our Patreons, and we're going to give away everything that you need to saddle hunt. So you're going to be able to climb a tree, have something to stand on, and have everything that you're going to need to try out saddle hunting. That seems to be the barrier of entry. You know, it's kind of costly. You can't go in and find one and check it out unless you're finding one of these seminars or whatever that they're putting on, or you're seeing them at one of the shows. So we were talking about it. We had some people reach out to us, and I just don't want to say anything until everything is like 100%, but everything is looking up, and so that's what we're going to be doing. So for our fourth quarter giveaway for our Patreons, we're going to be giving away a full saddle kit, everything that you need to become a saddle hunter. So I think that's really cool. If you want to check that out, you know, Patreon is just a way for, it's kind of like a crowdfunding for our podcast. So if you listen to the podcast and you like what we're doing and you say, hey, you know, how can I help you guys out, or you know, what can we do? Check that out. Patreon patreon.com/Bowhunter Chronicles podcast. And you can check that out. But what we do is, you know, any money that we make off of that, that doesn't go back into the podcast as far as hosting and, you know, all the fees and everything that go along with that. You know, we take that and, you know, buy gear to test and whatever. And then we do these giveaways with some of the companies that we've had on. We get stuff from them, and products that we like, we're, you know, just giving those out to our Patreons via a quarterly giveaway. And, you know, so we've given away a tree stand, some binoculars, you know, all sorts of things, manner of things like that. So this one is going to be a saddle hunting kit for, you know, one of the Patreons. Go ahead and check that out. If not, no problem. Just continue to follow along with us on social media, Instagram, Facebook. More and more videos coming out all the time on our YouTube. And, you know, tell a friend about it. And if you really like what we're doing, whatever you're listening on, give us a review. You know, even just click the 5 stars, 1 star, whatever it is. But tell somebody else about it. And, you know, we appreciate everybody that listens, everybody that follows along, everybody that messages in. You know, we've been getting a lot of emails lately, you know, listeners that are sharing their harvest with us and guests that they'd like to have on and things like that. Feel free to reach out to us if there's something that you want to hear about or anything like that. And we'll be happy to try to oblige that. And, you know, I generally respond to everybody within, you know, same day or whatever, but we do appreciate all the support and everybody that listens in, and enjoy the episode. Thanks for listening. Hey, everybody. It's time for another episode of the Bowhunter Chronicles podcast. We've got John, Frank, Ernie, and myself. Can go through our trials and tribulations of the season so far. It's been a good one. I'd say there, you know, there's been some equipment changes, a lot of learning curve, couple shots, couple harvests, at least one miss that I know of. Just one.
Yeah.
Just you?
It was just one. Limbed it.
So that's start from the beginning of the season. Frank, I had to work, so you guys all went out, and John went on his
fucking... Yeah, I hunted opening morning, just pretty much say I did. I got winded. It was swirling, shitty wind, so...
Oh, I hunted opening morning, too. I didn't get winded. I got wet. Extremely wet.
That was opening night, wasn't it?
No,
it was...
We had a thunderstorm roll.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, I think I hunted opening night.
It actually wasn't a thunderstorm. That was a typhoon.
And I made it to the truck just as it started really raining.
Well, man, it hit. I was still up the tree. It hit at about 10:30.
Yeah, I was down by 9.
Yeah, I wasn't. It wouldn't have mattered. I had so far to go, I couldn't have got out of there anyways. So.
Well, didn't you say it was thunder and lightning right on top of you?
Oh, yeah. Well, at 10 o'clock, there was a lot of thunder to the north of me, okay, and it was like going to the east, so I figured, oh, I'm safe. So I still sitting there, you know, but it was about 25 after 10, all of a sudden this bright bolt, flash, crack goes over the top of my head, you know, and a loud boom, and then it got so dark that you needed your headlight to see, and then I knew I was in trouble then. I started down the tree. I let my bow down, climbed down the tree, got to the base of the tree, and the typhoon hit then. So I just stepped away from my stand and anything else that was metal and just stood there. Took it like a man.
Walked back to the
tree. Well, I let the storm do its thing. It rained so hard that you couldn't, you know, it rained harder than a cow pissing on a flat rock, you know? And, finally, I just said, you know, I just let it go. And it finally quit, you know, or slowed down enough to where I could get my gear together. I was only 3/4 of a mile from the truck. I mean, you know, it was everything weighed probably another 50 to 75 pounds by the time I got out.
was hoping you'd get back sooner or later because I was running out of food.
Yeah, Ernie was back at the truck. He had made it back before the storm hit because he only hunted about 300 yards from the truck.
No. When that one bolt come over the top, it was... But I was only... I was less than half a mile.
Yeah, you weren't very far. I had a long way to go, and I knew I wasn't going to make it out of there.
Yes, I think it was that night that I wasn't going to hunt because it was supposed to continue raining, and then there was a break.
Yeah.
And I called my wife, and you know, she was taking my daughter to dance, so I was like, well, I was just going to go drive around, and then I was looking at the radar, and it looked like it was going to, you know, kind of miss us. There was going to be a window there. Well, that window was smaller than I had anticipated. So, and I, you know, before the season, I had the Ridge Runner platform, and I swapped that out. I've got one of the top stick platforms from the Artisan Outdoor Fabrications, and I really like it, but I wasn't, like, you know, switching to the saddle and all the filming gear and everything. I wasn't real confident in, like, being able to set up, so I went in to kind of where I wanted to set up on those bucks. Just kind of walked in there. It was a bad wind, but I was trying to get to a spot where I could see and kind of, like John said, just get out there to get out there and, you know, kind of get practice putting up all the stuff. And man, if I didn't get all the way up the tree, set up, and get the camera arm set up, and then it started sprinkling. And so I was like, okay, well, I had a rain jacket. I had rain gear. I was like, oh, I'll put this on. And then it just started fucking pouring. And the one thing that all the people that I talked to that saddle hunted or whatever, they didn't tell you is that when it's raining that hard and the rain is running down the trunk of the tree, that tether acts like a wick and it brings it right to your chest and then down your pants. And so even if you have rain gear on and they're not outside of your boots, it just runs into your boots. And so, like, I got down when my boots filled up with water. Like, my toes were completely underwater, and I was like, fuck this. Like, and it made me think about, like, oh, yeah, the camera. I've already destroyed one camera just from snow from putting it in my pack. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be a long season. But so, no deer, no sightings, but I got set up, and I still got to pour out my boots. So
you didn't walk through any water either, did you?
No, I didn't walk through a goddamn mud puddle. Nothing. but that was my opening day. And then I think I did the same thing the next evening and got rained on again. And he got me really thinking about a waterproof camera. So, and then when was it that you guys went back out and then you'd seen all them bucks? And yeah, you and you.
Frank and Ernie.
About the fourth?
Yeah.
Fourth or the fifth, yeah.
So what happened?
Well, the first night I hunted out there, I noticed some buck rubs. When I turned this corner on this trail, I just got up a tree. I wanted to watch what was coming out of that big thicket. Seen a deer. The next night I wanted to hunt right in the rubs there. I noticed a lot of traffic on this one run. Well, I sat there that night and I seen 18 deer and 7 different bucks and killed the biggest buck of the 7, and it wasn't really that big. You know, just a big fork horn. But it was amazing. I mean, every time I turned around, I got to where, you're kidding me. I said it out loud when I seen more deer coming out. They'd come out in various places, but they'd all turn and come to that point. So that was a really neat deal. And I thought a bunch of them went toward Frank, but he just seen the one he shot the limb on.
And so let's talk about, you know, we do all this practicing and all this kind of stuff. Let's talk shot placement.
Okay.
That was kind of an interesting deal there.
Well, the one I shot probably minutes before that, I had one come out and come underneath and look right at me and then hunch down and back off just a little bit. And I'm I don't know, I was probably 16, 17 feet up, no face paint. You know, early in the year, just out looking around, right? So it backed off, like, and went out around me. I went, that's interesting. So then when this one had come out, I looked, and it was just a little nicer, you know. I decided, ooh, I'm going to shoot that one. It's coming down that same trail. That's, I said, it's going to do the same thing. So I drew the bow. Didn't even have the bow drawn or nothing on the other one. It come out and did the same exact thing. Looked up at me like that. Did that little backup thing. Turned a little bit and froze. And that's when I dropped the bow that little bit more to shoot. Put the pin in there. Started pulling. And it did the backup movement as the bow went off, like. And I seen the arrow kind of go through with a lit knock. But it happened so fast, I knew I hit it up in front of the shoulder. I said, I don't know how good I hit it. I didn't know. It's just so fast. But got down, looked at the arrow, and there wasn't jack on the arrow. Pretty depressed, but I thought I heard the familiar noise of that thing just crashed off. No noise, and then big pile. I go, man, I've heard that so many times. But Frank finally come over, and I was following some blood. Just disappointed that the arrow should have been saturated. I get over there, and he's talking to me about coming back out the next day, and I said, well, let me go in. And I heard a big pile up.
Well, first he says, he shows me the arrow, and then we got...
What'd the arrow look like?
Clean. It was clean, but a little sticky, like, you know. And he goes, I think I winged him, he goes, like that, you know.
That's because I looked at
the arrow. When he says that, he didn't make a good shot, you know what I'm saying? Because usually it's in the ribs, you know. And he goes, I think I winged him, he goes. And I goes, what do you mean you winged him? And he says, I think I hit him high. He turned, he said, you know, when I shot. And I said, well, by looking at the arrow, and we had very little blood, didn't we? Really.
Yeah, it just every now and then.
You know, every now and then you have a little bit there, you know. And we're following it, you know, and I'm thinking, man, we're going to jump this deer, you know what I mean? And we're going to push him back in the swamp farther. So I suggested, you know, I says, let's just stop right here, mark it, you know, and I'll come back out in the morning, you know, or we can come out here in the morning and check, you know, we'll track it. Well, he goes, at least I want to go as far as when I heard it crash, he says, you know, and I go, well, you didn't tell me you heard it crash, you know, or anything like that.
I didn't have time to tell you the whole story.
Yeah.
You just got there.
Yeah. And then I says, well, okay, you know, so where'd we go? Another
30 feet.
30 feet.
I go, what's that?
And there's this deer laying there. Perfect shot.
Well, it skimmed the base right here, went right through the dead center through there and cut right, everything.
Through his neck.
Yeah.
So, are you taking after Adam now? Because that's where Adam
Oh, this was a much, much cleaner shot than the old neck shot down there. Shot because right it was broadside and it went through the jugular? Throat and the jug.
Oh, yeah, it went through everything inside. But what was really weird
is... It didn't make it... it may have went 75 yards.
Yeah.
Piled up in a massive... pool of blood.
But the blood was all right there where the
it
deer was.
Come out of the animal.
You know, it just, there he was drowned. A hole. Huh?
He drowned it in it.
Yeah, well, it did. He was laying in water, but I mean, the entire water around him for like 2 or 3 feet was just nothing but that pink, bubbly blood, you know, come out of his, finally out of his.
He shot him through the jugular. He drowned it in his own blood. Yeah. He was running.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy.
But it was weird because you would never, I'll tell you what, by looking at that arrow,
yeah, that's deceiving.
And then looking at what he had for blood, you know, I was skeptical, you know.
It was saliva.
Well, that's what happened. I think what happened was...
Well, you know how those...
Through the esophagus.
Yeah. Well, those necks have those big yellow grizzle. I don't know what those are. They're hard. That you got to cut.
Fat tendons in there or whatever.
Great big fat tendons, but the muscle cleaned it right off.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen an arrow look like that.
There was a few hairs on
but
it.
But I felt it, and it couldn't was hardly find sticky, any blood. Though, you know, the whole thing was sticky. It's spit.
And there's a hole in it that wide, up and down, right straight through
Yeah.
It.
What broadhead were you shooting?
Rage.
Chisel point.
Well, chisel point.
It's 2 inch.
2 inch?
Yeah.
It's not, is it the tri-pan?
Mm-mm.
No.
Chisel point.
Just a red chisel
point. It's got a slightly swept back design on the blades.
But it's got that black chisel point.
I had to yank it out of the ground. I mean, it did a great job.
And what did you see that day?
I had a buck come in that night, too. And I guess, you know, hindsight's 20/20. It might have been just a little bit too late, maybe. I thought he was clean when I shot. And I hit a limb. I had a big limb, too, whatever it was. It was loud. Yeah, but he didn't touch a deer. He actually stuck straight up and down almost where he was. It was sticking up out of the ground.
It's funny, as it gets later, it gets shooting lanes get better.
Oh, yeah.
The twigs disappear. Man,
I didn't see that tree. I didn't see Sasquatch over there first, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'd hunted a couple times and got wet, all fucked up, and wasn't real happy. And I was talking to these guys, and I said, I just want to kill a deer. And Ernie says, well, go back in there where I was at. And, like, you know, you get a couple beers in these guys, and Frank sends me a pin. And if Frank's telling you how to get to anywhere, he says, well, here you go in there, and you're going to see the stick, and you're going to see all this stuff.
Drive by the old oak tree that the raccoons lived in for years, you know.
Well, you guys, you know what
Thank
I mean?
Thank God for
Onyx,
because it put you.
We'll get to this story, but
right where you needed to be.
Onyx apparently didn't help us out the other morning.
No,
because Adam was on Frank's Onyx.
No, I was. It's a family plan.
Yeah, but
yeah. Where he tells, and I've told him 100 times when you go over this little knob, dude, stay straight on that edge. You know. Well, apparently he didn't listen to me again.
We did.
Yeah, we did. That was a goat rodeo.
But hey, that
was just the beginning. Apparently, of the day. We'll get to the.
Apparently,
rest of
you guys walked through all of the shit that you watch.
Yeah.
And you ended up on the south side of it, which was fine. Right.
That's where we were going. Yeah.
And if you happen to look, there's a little water there, a little wet, but buck rubs.
We walked right through all that water.
There should have been a bunch
but
of
just,
little buck
just
rubs.
Another,
there too.
Just another thought, okay? If you guys are going to do that again, just stay on the trail. You know,
you could end up in the same place without messing anything up.
You'll
cut back about 60 yards to the north.
We'll get into it. Yeah. Well, it'll be fun.
Hey, did you guys crumb that in so we can see it?
Oh,
yeah, John's got it.
I got it.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah. It's an S hook.
Doing circles and stuff.
So ZZ Top.
Anyways.
I was walking through there sweating my balls off, and I'm like, dude, this is stupid. What the fuck are we doing?
Hey.
Get to the tree. Finally, we're like, all right.
I'm up in the tree shining my light down, and John's got no shirt on. He's just standing there like,
fucking steam's blowing off me like I'm a fucking chimney.
That's just basically a casual little walk around the trail, drop into
the woods. That's what I said.
Yeah.
God, that'd have been hilarious to watch.
That's what I said. To me, is one of the easiest spots to hunt.
It started out because we met a guy in the parking lot, and Adam asked him where he was going, and he said, all right, well, I'm going back across the trail, you know.
He said, there's a little trail over there. I'm going to go in there and over about 50 yards. So he didn't say how far back he was going to go.
Right. So Adam's like, well, that's fine. We're going back that same way, but we're going to be farther in.
A lot farther.
Well, as soon as
so we get back,
as soon as it makes that little jog before it goes up, his light was right in there.
Yeah.
So we walked right up there, and John's like, that guy's still right there. And he probably wasn't that close because the light traveled, you know. And
I know where he was. He was sitting on all that big buck sign.
Yeah.
That happens in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
So then he watched us two clowns walk through the woods like freaking, you know, three Marco blind Polo. Mice.
Can
like,
you imagine that?
I'm like, dude, this guy's got to think, what the fuck are these clowns doing?
So anyways, we'll get
Yeah.
So regardless,
yeah.
It's a very similar, very same area. But Frank has his tree marked, and they just told me I'd literally never been even on that side of this trail or any of this stuff prior to this day. And I'm just going off of, you're going to see some ferns. Don't go past the ferns. There's a little stick sticking out over here. you want to go in from there about 50 yards. And he had a tree mark, and I walked in there, and they said there's buck rubs everywhere. Everywhere I shine my light, there's buck rubs. And I did like a like 9 circles around all these trees, and then finally I was like, fuck it, I'm just getting up this tree. And I was facing the wrong way.
Laid a good scent trail down.
No, I literally did.
It wanted to make sure they didn't get too close.
Yeah, it was 10-yard circle, basically. But finally, I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. So I got up this tree, but I did, like, no, this is the first deer that I killed on video and the first deer that I killed from a saddle. But this was what 100% not to do with the saddle. Don't take my, take this as a lesson. But I was like, well, I know that it's a climber tree, so I'll just take my climber base in there. I won't mess around with any of the sticks or any of that stuff. So I had my climber base, and I was just climbing up with that, and that was a fucking disaster. If you think yesterday or 2 days ago, whatever it was a rodeo, I was so fucking mad by the time I got up there. And then I get up to the top, and the way that the saddle lays out is like you're designed to have your feet on the tree, which is right where your pivot tree point. Stand will go like slide straight up and down to the fucking ground. Yeah. So the whole day, I'm like, my feet were up on the tree, like, and the platform was just there until like I saw that deer. So I got my camera arm, and the first 4 times I sat up in the saddle, I'm looking at it like I'm setting up for a tree stand or whatever. So like I'll climb up to that limb. Well, when I climb up to that limb, like there's nowhere to put my tether. There's nowhere to put the camera arm. Everything's in the way. Like when I get the video done, like you'll see when I draw, like my arm is in this limb that's coming like right over my right shoulder. It's hitting. It was just so bad. But anyways, I'm sitting there, and I mean, I said it on the podcast when we were getting ready for the season. Like I didn't want to shoot a small buck. You know, that wasn't like what I was going after. And inevitably, that's always what happens. And it's like karma, or like, you know, whatever. The universe tests you. And I'm like, fuck.
Only once.
Yeah. Well, I look over, and where we were at, like, it was raining acorns. And there was 100,000 squirrels around there. And it was just so loud that there was no, I wasn't looking for deer. And I was facing directly to the north. So, you know, mm-hmm. There weren't a lot of deer that were moving north there.
No.
And so I just heard something odd behind me. I turn around and there's a buck standing there right on the trail. And I seen it was a buck and I was like, oh man. And then I was like, I've been telling these guys, like, we need to be filming these deer. We got to shoot them on camera, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Turned on the camera and I whipped around. And I got it like where I thought the deer was in frame. I didn't zoom in on it or anything. I just like got the tree that he was by, drew back and waited for him to present me a shot. And I shot him and he took off like a lightning bolt with the fucking arrow sticking out of him. And I'm like, that can't be good. Like, I'm shooting still the same arrows that we have the elk set up there, like 440 some grains with a solid fixed blade broadhead. It should have just blown right through him, no problem. And so on the video, I'm like, oh, it's not good. Like, I got him in the front shoulder, something's wrong. And I'm like, God damn it. Like, this is just awful.
Did you have lit knocks?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. It was a loud, loud noise, too, when it hit him.
Yeah, on the video, I was like, crack!
Crack, loud.
And I'm like, son of a bitch.
But if you watched it, though, he was right behind the leg.
The minute you watch it, you're golden.
He was right behind the leg when he hit it.
Yeah.
So he just hit the other side. You know?
Right, hit the other leg. Solid leg bone.
So I sat up there for an hour, and I get down, and I'm not very excited because there's no cell phone service out there, so I got to go back to the car. Drive out, try and find some service to call Frank, because Frank's like, oh, if you shoot something, you know, call me, I'll bring the deer hauler out there. Well, I get down, I walked over there, and there's blood everywhere. So I was like, that's a good sign, but I don't want to, you know, I don't want to risk it, I don't know. So I walk back there, go out and get service, and he's like, "Well, you know, what do you think? You think I need to come out there? You think it's dead?" And I'm like, "Well, you said you were going to come out here." I'm like, "I haven't even looked for it. There's blood everywhere." So Frank and Ernie come out there, and we meander out there, and there was a lot of blood.
Yeah,
it wasn't. It didn't take the path exactly where I had thought he did, but you know, it probably went 100 yards, 150 yards.
Yeah, you're gonna have to work on your visual. You know, like when they leave you. You know, oh yeah, he went right down the trail. He says,
or you could film a guy.
Yeah, or he went.
That's where you need the second guy.
The other side of the trail.
I got him going until he went off.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can see where he runs and goes. Like, and you can see in the video he went through that water.
He took the trail exactly where you guys should have went.
Right.
The morning.
Yeah, the morning.
And yeah. Probably yeah. Died within
oh, yeah.
40 yards of where you guys were sitting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably not.
Yeah, probably pretty close.
Oh, I know that,
right there,
all that stuff yeah. There really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Needless to say, yeah. Though, you...
So, either way, I mean, I heart shot him, and it hit the... And broke the femur on the other side. Bent the broadhead's pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
But still, arrow's still in one piece. Everything's still in one piece.
I still can believe that it never came out the leg on the other side.
Yeah,
it
went, you know,
inside the skin.
Went through both ribs.
Like, must have hit into that shoulder, you know, and then went down and busted the leg. But it shattered that leg bone, man, big time.
And when we were tracking him, you could see the one.
Yeah.
Make ossobuco with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spit out the bone chips.
Yeah. It's probably not as bad as the hatchet.
No. And then so, to that point, that was the only deer that I had seen. And I had maybe five or six times. And then my buddy had killed one up on the Muskegon River, and I'd been wanting to go up in there, and he's like, "Well, you know, come on, we'll go hunt down in there." And we did a whole lot of other fucking wandering around, but it was cool, you know, take a canoe up the river or not.
You guys need a bigger motor, though.
Yeah. So the second time we went up there, they just opened the dam up even after it rained, and we were both paddling and using the trolling motor, and we were going nowhere. So we got out.
It's like a treadmill.
Yeah.
Oh, we're not going to hunt very far up tonight, Adam.
No, we ended up walking like 3/4 of a mile that day.
There's Big Ben again, kids.
But we had a little buck come right in behind us, and I got that on video. And that's what's been cool about the whole thing, has been videoing everything. So, you know, every deer that I've seen this season, I've videoed, or have on video.
Did you get them ones on video out here the other night?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
The other morning?
Yep. So that
was a
cool.
Decent buck you guys seen, though. Anyways.
Yeah. So
you weren't too far off the mark, but you know where he come out of, don't you?
From the trail.
Yeah.
Oh, you went right across.
Yeah. Right across.
A little corner there that you would turn to go down into the more wet stuff that they've been pumped. That's a morning glory right there. Sat. My stepson. Want to do a little bit of hunting. He only hunted the UP a little bit. Wasn't seeing Jack up at their place. I said, "Well, let's go." You know, took him out there and set him up. I went over on that trail where you guys were, but I went up on a rub line and a scrape line up in there.
And on the same side, I think, is where that kid was.
No.
So
all the way around the trail.
Oh, yeah. Right.
All the way around
right
the
where
corner.
We were at, then we've seen them two scrapes.
Yeah, all the way around the corner. And you go about 50 more yards, and there's a little high spot back in here. There's a couple big scrapes there, and the rub line goes really weird how that, you know, how that thicket turns like that. These guys, like, go like this. It's a real big angle, but I wanted to hunt it anyways just to see. My God, Brad seen 8 different bucks that morning. I seen 5 of them. They got between us, most of them.
I seen a buck that morning, too.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yep.
Yeah.
No but, shots?
They are. Nope, no shots.
Nobody got
no shots. Twice he got tied up. Well,
Ernie was going to
drive him. I think 3 bucks were in the first group. He said there was
some deer.
He was 3 bucks and a doe, is what he said. But there is a couple, believe it or not, there's a couple one-horners. And there's one on the driver's side, and the other buck has one on the other side. It's really weird. But I seen, like, all these guys. That first buck that come through that I seen that he was watching. They were about 60 yards from him, probably 80, 90 from me. I just got a one little place I can see him. First one was okay. And the second one I could see was a buck too. And then he said they kind of looked at him. He's hunting out of a
ghost blind.
And I had it set up. I just took him into this little spot and turned it. And I said, yeah, here's the deer traffic right here. I mean, solely, just about it right here. Well, they had gotten around this side, spotted him, and all they did was just kind of jump off a little bit. Well, that's when I seen them jumping. Then they all went down that edge where you guys were the other day. And he said one was nice and wide. There was another buck. And 15 minutes later, another buck come walking the same deal. I could see him. I'm going, my God, where? You know, I thought he was a little closer to him. 5 minutes later, another buck comes through. He said he seen a buck and two does come the other side. He couldn't quite get a shot through the runway, maybe where you hunted.
Mm-hmm.
And where you sat in that tree.
Yeah.
And then wasn't long. Later, I seen this. I looked and I seen a deer, and I seen a small deer come up beside that one, moved out, and then I could see it was a doe and a fawn. And I said, Brad wanted to shoot a deer, right? I take my release, and I go, tink, 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 got her attention, went like this. She turned and ran, but then turned and ran back into that point of that thicket. Oh, I just texted him, sorry, dude, tried to scare a couple of your way. So he texts me back a few minutes later and goes, yep. Like, okay, he's seen him, right? So I'm on the way home. And I said, well, so how many did you see? And he said, I seen 8 bucks. I said, 8? And, you know, because he told me about what he said. Well, where's the other two? Well, that's the two you scared past me. I go, no, that was a doe and a fawn. Well, I didn't know it, but there was 2 bucks in there, too. They went right to him. And when they turned, they were going to come right in front of him. So he shoots a crossbow, and he had it on a stick. And they were coming just like this, right in front of him. And all they did was just jumped and turned, went like that, stopped, and looked at him. And he goes, you know, you're dead, right? I didn't even see those. So that was pretty amazing. So I almost did scare him a deer.
And so for you, John,
pretty wild.
I was out east.
And then you come back and...
Came back and, well, no. Mainly been just dicking around, like, scout hunting, you know. But the Jet and I went out...
Last weekend or weekend?
Yeah, last weekend. Yeah, weekend before last, Jet and I. The first weekend I was back home. We went out on Saturday night and set him up in the spot that hunted last year. It's right on the edge of the marsh, bottom of a big ridge. There's a couple good runways coming out of the cattails. And we had one, it was a smaller sized doe, come right out and within 15 yards of Jet. But he uses he's got a climbing tree stand, a summit, but then he also has his harness. Well, he's got the muddy harness, but he uses the belt, like the safety belt one part of it, and he straps that to the tree tight, and then he hooks his tether right to that. So he don't have much room. He's not using the rope through the loop, and so you have a little extra. Well, she come through at 15 yards behind some brush, and then she was going up the hill. And I sat in this tree last year, and there's like a perfect shooting lane about 20 yards, like angling away. Well, when she got to that point, he couldn't draw his bow because he was like tied to the tree. So he couldn't. So then he's trying to unhook his tether. And, you know, but by that time it was too late. It was gone. So.
Well, yeah. And I got, you know, those ropes are awesome. I mean, for setting it up. Like, I used to hunt with one of those belts and try and dick around with all that.
Oh, yeah.
For any of your listeners out there, believe me, Adam and I went in the one morning, and I got up in one tree, and Adam got up aside of me in another tree. He was going to film me. And I'm up there in the dark trying to buckle my safety belt around the tree, you know, the belt portion of it, trying to put it in there, and I goes, finally, I'm going to Adam. I'm going, hey, shine your light over here so I can see this, you know. And so I get harnessed up and everything, but after that, we got back to the vehicle, and he goes, man, I'm going to get you one of those rope deals, you know,
the loop,
you know. And I go,
it's a hunter's safety system rope strap.
I said, get it, you know. So he got it. The next time I went out, I've never used anything so easy, but I say this to all guys, even if you're using a climber, okay? It's probably the safest thing that you could ever do is I have a two-part Summit Goliath and hook it on the tree, you know, you get ready to climb. Take your safety belt, take that loop and put it around the tree, you know, hook your tether into it. You can slide it up in the air, you know, as high as you can reach. Just pull that knot tight, climb your tree, you know, and you go up and you come down the same way. You know, I mean, you're hooked to the tree. You can't, if something breaks on your stand, you're not going to get hurt.
Well, and, you know, with that being said, I mean, there's a lot of guys that are sitting at this table that, you know, when they're in their climber, they say, well, you know, I'm not going to fall. It's two pieces, or, you know, I don't climb with it. When I get up there, I put it on there or whatever. And it's like you're climbing a tree that's perfectly straight. And that's like, it is a pain in the ass if you have, you know, one of the buckle deals, because you're trying to do it in the dark,
right,
and your hands are cold and all that other stuff. And I mean,
but like I said,
I'm afraid of falling.
Well,
so
here's,
I'm not afraid of heights, and I'm not, I don't want to fall. And I've been up in the tree stand multiple times where either A, I was stuck up there, or B, more than once I've dropped the bottom of my climber and then I'm really fucked. And by having my safety harness, at least I have that peace of mind to be able to be like, okay, well, I don't need to freak out. I'll just be dangling here if I drop this other piece. But, you know, in the climber, like I would always do that and go up and climb and then same way down. And then, you know, just this past weekend, I have hunting with the saddle. And if it's a straight tree, like I don't unhook the tether when I come down. I hook my lineman's belt on and I come on and I just leave it on there and come down with it, because it's actually one less thing that I got to pack up until I get to the bottom of the tree. So,
but it's so safe though. You know, you don't even think about it anymore. You know what I mean? I get on the tree and I hook that thing around there and I climb the tree with it. It takes me maybe an extra minute, you know, coming down. It's a piece of cake. You know, all you do is you just loosen that knot up, slide it down to the top of your stand, you know, tighten the knot. I have the rope right in my hand like this over my top part of my climber, and just go down until you got to reach back up. I mean, it's a minute or two, you know. I mean, and believe me, it's a well worth the minute.
And it's, well, climbing up and down is no time to hurry anyways.
No.
Well, take the damn time to do it.
Unless you got to poop.
Well,
right off the side of it.
But this is
with your tether on.
But this is no bullshit. That day, Frank and I are sitting there. There's a helicopter circling around,
right?
And a kid fell out of a tree stand just up from where we were at, broke his neck and his back. Right, he can still feel his feet and everything.
Right.
But they had to fuse his neck together, because it couldn't hold up the weight of his head. And, you know, John knows all about back surgeries and all that. I mean, it's going to be a tough row to hoe.
I mean,
lucky.
for what do they cost you?
$30.
Well, and he got a deal. Ernie got a deal on them.
Where I worked, where my son still works anyways, we get 25% off all hunter safety products. So he tells me, let me check. They had a 2-pack shipped to my door for $37.
Yeah.
Did you say Jet doesn't have one?
No, he has one.
He has.
Okay.
He has one. He's got the lineman rope, because the muddy comes with both. It comes with the lineman rope, and then it comes with the belt. And he's just been using the belt. So I told him, I said, dude, we need to get rid of the belt so you can use the rope, and then you can adjust it with the Persic knot, or whatever, however you pronounce it. And then you can have room to spin around.
That's the first product that's actually going to get me using it in that climber.
Yeah.
Yep.
See, in my climber, I had a Summit too, and you know, I never used a belt in that, but I never even used a tether on the, you know, it's, to tie it's the two
you
together.
Know, well, just like that day that helicopter's out there, you know, I thought, well, they're out there looking for dope or something, you know,
yeah.
You know, they don't look for dope no more, you know,
right?
They know where all that's
at. It's not against the law anymore. But what I'm saying is, you know, it was kind of a reality check. You know what I mean? I used that belt, but man, that thing is just a pain in the ass. You know, this thing is just nothing to it, man. Just throw it around the tree, pull it through, slide the knot up. You know, you're hooked into it. You got plenty of room to move around. You know, it's a must, I think, for, you know, if you're climbing trees, dudes.
Cheap investment. Well,
I hijacked your story, but anyway.
So then he didn't get a shot. But that was the only deer we seen that night. Then the next morning we hunted, but he had to work, so we could only sit till 9, and we didn't. You know,
that's the day you parked on the gut pile.
Yeah, we parked on a gut pile.
been like trying to get out and film these guys. But I was like, I'll film you, Frank, and that was that day. And then I was telling John, you know, I'll get out and film you, and you know, can I hunt this day or it's hunting with Jet, whatever. And so then fast forward a little bit, and he says, well, I'm going to hunt this day. We try to figure out when we could go, and he says, yeah, well, I'm going to go today, and I was busy or whatever, so I was like, you want to take my saddle? Because he was talking about, you know, wanted to try one out or see whatever, and so.
Yeah, so that night, I went to the same spot where Jet and I hunted, but I wanted to get out closer to the bedding. And it was a good setup. I mean, the saddle was great. I mean, I weighed my pack before with my XLP sticks, stand, camera gear, my fanny pack, and it was 52 pounds. And that's just, I mean, last year wasn't so bad because we were in elk shape, but this year I'm in couch potato shape. So, and my back is, you know, prior to that, I mean, we missed South Dakota because my back was out. We couldn't even go. So I've been just kind of dreading it. Matter of fact, a couple nights I just hunted on the ground, just kind of scouted out spots and just ended up sitting on the ground. But so I used the saddle and it was awesome. I mean, I used my XOP sticks to get up, and then I had a couple of the Wild Edge steps, and I put those around the top. So I had my top stick and then I had a Wild Edge step on each side so I could get all the way around the tree, you know, as far as I needed to. And it was super comfortable. And I mean, it's definitely a learning curve for like situating your gear, because it's, you know, staying in a tree stand, you can put it wherever and you turn around, bend down a little bit or whatever. If you're sitting there, you don't quite have as much like vertical movement when you're with the.
Well, what's the difference in the weight too?
Well, I eliminated the weight of the stand, so
22 pounds.
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah. Well, no, the XLP, that's like 13 pounds for the
with straps. Yeah, 13
yeah. pounds. Yeah. So, but that was awesome. But of course, that night the deer, I heard them coming through the water, spoosh, 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 and they went out the runway that you know, that Jet and I sat on. But oh well.
Well, and that's like I went up to the spot that I've been hunting and that I was walking through all that water last year and everything. And I found another way to access it so I can hunt it on a different wind. I didn't really want to go back in there. I didn't. I told Frank, I was like, I'm not going to go all the way back in there because I don't think that it's going to be happening back in there. But I had it was almost like just an excuse to go get my trail camera, because I still had a trail camera out there. It was pretty close to the parking lot. So I got in there got all my stuff ready, and old boy pulls into the parking lot, and there was a gut pile on the parking lot there too. And you know, he said he was just going not far from where my camera was. So I said, oh, I'm going to go get my camera, and I'm just going to wander up on this ridge, and then I'm just going to look for any buck sign and try and get set up, because there's this big oak ridge, and there should have been scrapes. Last year, there were scrapes right on the edge of it, and there's rubs, and, you know, there's acorns everywhere. There was, like, a handful of deer tracks, a little bit of deer shit, a fresh ladder stand, and trail camera right hooked to the base of the ladder stand, you know, cobra locked on there. And but there just wasn't any deer signs, so I just kept on walking back further and further and further, and then I ended up getting back all the way back to where I wanted to go. But
where you didn't want to go.
Yeah, where I didn't want to go, where I had been hunting last year. But I had my Onyx, and I was just kind of following all my old, like, waypoints and stuff. And I got right to where I was pretty sure there was a buck bed up, like you were talking about, the spot that you were hunting there. There was this big mound. It was like this one big, like, elm tree or something. But there was a big mound, and there was, you know, flat to the ground right at the base of it. And I got near that, and I heard something get up and get into the water, and it didn't run away. It just walked away. It just spoosh.
This is the morning. Huh?
No, it was the evening.
Oh, it was the evening.
So, and I had the wind. I had the wind in my favor all the way, but I was walking around this big, like, the whole thing is like underwater, and this is almost like a pond, but it's all like cattails and shit, like on the edges of it. And I don't know what's in the middle of it, but it's
more water.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
Deeper water.
But I was just circling around it. Well, when I got around it, I was on the bad side of the wind. Now it was blowing kind of into that. And that I got, again, right to where the wind would have been blowing, right to where I had it marked. And that's when that thing got up. And so I kept on walking back in there, and I come around the end of it, and there's an old grade or something Frank and I had got on. And it was like, that was the only high spot in the whole thing. It was just like, there was like a flock of ducks got up off of it and took off. And I mean, it was just solid water, where last year it was scrapes and rubs and everything. And at that point, I was kind of committed, because I was all the way back there, and then I knew where that guy was hunting. I didn't want to mess him up. So this is where, like, that in-season scouting, or, like, you know, as you're going, I was walking through, and there was only one spot where I'd seen, like, deer tracks going through, but it was just, like, a handful of them. And I was looking for, I was like, well, there's so much water, there's got to be a spot.
For Mecca.
Well, I was looking for where they were going to, you know, be using it, like, in force. Like, and they were going into the water, so I was like, there's nothing going to be over there. Well, I went a little bit further, and there was a high spot with some oaks, and I was like, well, this looks great. That's where I filmed that bobcat. But back, right back there with them, just the leaves were kicked up. It wasn't like it was, you know, tracks or stuck in the mud or anything. I had deer blowing at me, and that was downwind. I just got too far. And, like, in hindsight, that's right where I should have been.
You didn't need to go any farther.
No. And I actually walked to the base of a tree right there, and I'm like, what am I doing? There's nothing. There's nowhere for him to go right here. Apparently, I was missing something.
Yeah.
But.
So then that brings us to our hunt?
Yeah.
So you want to start out that one?
Well, I mean, we've kind of already prefaced it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we met this kid in the parking lot, and he said, you know, he's just going back over there. Well, I mean, we basically followed his light, and we could see right where he was setting up. So I'm like, all right, well, I know Frank said he just walked down here, and we got to the spot and just kept walking straight. Well, I pull up Onyx. Well, I must have had Frank's phone or something, because it was Frank's Onyx that I was looking at.
Oh, my.
We're looking at the breadcrumb trail that Johnny's got on his phone.
Finally, he's like,
wow.
Well, you just pull up your Onyx and you just lead. I'm like, ah, okay. Here, I don't even know where the fuck I'm going, but
here is the dreaded mistake where you turned and went north.
No, well,
yeah.
Then you went west, north, southwest, south, and then you ended up here.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful, because that trail goes
right there.
That's what I told them.
And here's where them, you know.
Yeah.
You know the
yeah.
story. Yeah. That's yeah. that's nice.
It was maybe. Unconventional.
I mean, was the sun up by the time you guys
did it? No. That's the thing. We were there super early, and this kid was there before we were.
Yeah.
Well, why was that waypoint not here? Right about here.
I don't have it.
You don't have it. That's his phone.
That's John's phone.
No, I mean...
But
where was yours?
It was there. That's where that kid was.
That's why we're gonna.
He should have been on the left side of that trail.
He was
up in that.
Yeah, but he was deal. He was right there where you put that camera.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
and so if we would have went to that tree, we would have been.
What you should have just done.
You should have just went in where you and Frank
stayed on the trail and just went down to that corner and found those three tacks.
Yeah,
and hunted there.
He was closer to that. Because we got up to those ferns. Where
first ferns?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're still 100 yards from the second ones that you needed to be by. Because you take the left, yeah. right? You're still on the first set. And he was in.
Right in there.
Well, I was thinking that was was the ones where I needed to cut up just a hair.
No.
And I didn't have.
That's fine.
I didn't have my breadcrumb trail.
Well, where you shot was halfway between the two points.
Yeah.
And just off the trail.
Yeah.
Well, so
regardless, so we walked straight up there.
Well, you'll have her for next day.
And I have a much better understanding now because I've seen a little bit more of the country.
Gotcha. You
know, in the dark,
a lot of it in the dark.
But we walked fucking up,
and getting smacked. I got smacked right in the freaking eye with. It wasn't from Adam. I freaking grabbed the limb, and then it got caught on something else and come up and right in my right eye. It's like. Then it was really hot.
Well, it was getting stupid. I mean, I was getting frustrated. I knew where we needed to go, but I'm just terrible at navigating. Yeah. I mean, I really am.
Here's the thing. I didn't know where we needed to go.
Yeah, I just knew. I was like, we need to get over. Like,
this you were is, just along I showed him, for the ride.
But I know. I'm like,
I showed him on your Onyx that dot, and I said, right where we went to. I said, we need to get up over there. But we were just in the middle of all that bullshit.
Yeah.
And so it was like, as soon as we pop out of this bullshit, we're going to be where we need to be.
If you ever go back there again.
Well, I'm not going in the middle of that shit.
No, go in the day. Tell you. Go during the day. Go where you shot your deer. I shot mine 20 yards away from there. 25, 30. Look back in there for that big. Dark hemlock.
Well,
monster.
That's what I was looking for because that's where them bucks
you,
when we were in
you
there.
You guys
well,
walked
the big, too dark.
The other were. Side of it because that one is not in the bullshit. That is on the outside of the bullshit. Go up to that thing and stay just a little south of it and bingo.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Bingo.
But so
it worked out.
Jump up a tree
so
right there.
So for the listener, this is when we finally got to like where we were at, I did the Frankie. I said, John, turn off your light. And I turned off my light, and I just looked at the skyline, and because we were right on the edge of that thick stuff, and I'm like, "That there's a double tree right there." I'm like, "Let's go to that tree, right there." We got there, and John's like fucking stripping his clothes off. Like when you look down from even when we were there, it was just like John's pack is just strewn away. There's a shirt laying there. It was a yard sale at the bottom of the tree. What am I? Because we didn't use all the sticks.
Oh yeah, no. I rolled my shirt up and put it up underneath, trying to keep my scent away. But then the deer end up, you know, they end up coming down like that the runway right where we stopped and turned the light off basically. But yep. there
right
was still
past the big hemlock.
There was still some you know underbrush right there. You know.
Yeah. Well, we got to a tree right there, and we're like, "There's not a whole lot of shooting right here."
Right.
Like. 50 yards up there, it's pretty wide open.
Yeah, so they were 52 yards from us.
Well, we were sitting there, and it was like, there was like nothing going on. It was pretty quiet.
Watched a couple raccoons.
Yep, there was a...
Squirrels.
A lot of
out there.
The leaves were falling.
Leaves were falling, yeah, so we couldn't hear shit.
It was 28 degrees on the way out, so we had a pretty good frost, and I told Adam, I think, before, yeah. I said, man, when that sun hits them leaves, it's really going to... start raining and then the wind picked up a little bit and it was just solid. Well, you can see it in the video.
Well, yeah,
the leaves are just coming
down.
That's
when we got fucked.
Looks like snow, man.
Yeah.
But so that that was the one thing that was interesting, though, because, you know, John had said about the, you know, in his climber, he doesn't use safety belt here or there or whatever, had hunted in the saddle the day before. And so, you know, with us trying to set up and film, me being in the saddle, and I've got to be, like, above him, we had to set our sticks a certain way. So I just had him give me the sticks, and I just climbed up there with that top step platform, and I just had my backpack on my back. You know, I was up there for quite a while, you know, when as John's coming up and getting all of his gear ready and hooking on everything. Well,
getting redressed.
Yeah. Yeah. Taking a shower, whatever the fuck he's doing at the bottom of the tree. But I'm just sitting there, and, you know, John's like, pull up all John's stuff, and he gets there, and he's lineman's belt to rope around the tree, and he stands on the stand, and it was like he was going to fall off. Like, from the first step he took on there, he like put his other foot on there and like turned around, and it was like, whoa.
Well, yeah, that's, I'm like, the one thing about, well, the one thing that's I really like about the saddle is it's you're hooked to the tree, you're static, and then, I mean, there's no losing your balance. I mean, you might like take your foot off and you might swing a little
bit. Swing around, yeah.
But you're not. I mean, when I'm standing on my tree stand, and the thing is with my bad leg, I can't feel my left foot. I mean, half of it's like completely numb all the time, and then, you know, the night before I used the freaking the saddle, then that morning I get on my tree stand, and then my feet were cold. So as the morning went on, it got worse. Like, literally, I'm standing there, you know, I'm tethered in, but all of a sudden, I catch myself. It's like I'm falling. I kept feeling like I was falling.
So I'm like above him, like watching him. I'm like, holy shit, he's just going to be dangling there here in a second, you know? And so with your back issues and stuff, is there a noticeable difference?
There is a difference, but it's a different, it's hard to explain. I get a little bit of like, you know, your muscle, obviously my muscles aren't used to, you said that too, when you started using it, you know, it's pulling on your hip and your back a little bit, but it was more muscle, just kind of achy, but not. It was comfortable.
Like stiffness, like you get. Because, I mean, even I get, I think everybody gets that if you sit in one of them hang-ons for long enough. Like, it's, butt cheeks are going back and forth. And
Like,
lower back's, like, seizing up.
Yeah, I'm always, you know, like, stand up for a while, sit down for a while. It's hard to get comfortable, but I could get comfortable in the sling. Especially as, you know, I get more used to it.
It's got to distribute your weight differently.
Well, the other thing I was telling Adam, too, is so nice about it is when you want to move, it's so easy. You're just a matter of shifting your weight on your feet a little bit, and you can swing out one way or the other. Where, you know, when you're on your stand, that's the thing. I'm trying to tiptoe around a little bit, and then all of a sudden I'm losing my balance.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's if you have the right. If you have your steps, you know. we'll get to that one in a minute.
So we're sitting there, and it was pretty cold. What was funny is, it was cold, and, you know, John, we were talking about it, like, it's pretty chilly, and all the leaves are falling and all that stuff, and it was getting, you know, kind of late, you know, and I guess I always have, like, a bad taste in my mouth about that area anywhere near there, because just from you guys saying hunting on that ditch there, you know, after the time change, it's like if you don't see anything by 9 o'clock, which is really, you know, 10 o'clock, like, it's not gonna happen. Like, stuff happens early there, but that's just ingrained in my mind. So the longer that I sit there, and even last year when I was, you know, killed that buck whenever, 10 o'clock or whatever, like, if it gets past like 9:30, I'm like, this is fucking stupid. Like, I'm just sitting here, I'm getting angry, you know. And like, I, up until that point, you know, all of the sits that I've done, all the bullshit that I've been through, miles walked, like, I'd seen two deer, $2, but two deer. And so this is just another, you know, another sit. Here we are. Brought all this stuff out. I got the camera gear. We got all of our stuff. We went through. I took John through this fucking rodeo to get out here. And, you know, for nothing. John hates hunting this spot. We run into a guy right off the get-go. There's probably 50 other cars in the parking lot. And, you know,
what's very odd about that, the first 10, 12 days,
yeah,
you're lucky to see one car there.
Well, we'll get to that. But so we're sitting there, and then again, it was just like the other deer. Like, I just heard something weird, and then it was like a herd of something in the water. And I'm like, John, deer. And I was like, I just seen like a little bit of antler, and I'm like, oh, there's a little buck, like a little 8-point. And I swing the camera around, and then I'm like, holy shit, he's got like a big set, big rack. And so I don't know when you picked up those deer.
I seen them as soon as you said that I could catch movement, but then I turned around and grabbed my bow and, you know, got my release, got ready. And then I watched them coming through, and you're like, it's third one's a buck. So I, you know, was looking over, and I seen him, seen some horns. And I was like, well, he's a decent buck. And I think at that point you're like, should I try grunting him? And I don't know if I answered or
you said,
go ahead. And ended up being a mistake.
Yeah.
Just because of the situation. But
I mean, the way that edge laid out and the way that they were going, like at a pretty good clip, like I thought they were just going to keep going down that edge, but they cut back to the south.
They come up
south.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know.
They came east to west and then cut back to the south.
So they come up that edge like that, and then they got up around us. And then all of a sudden that lead doe turned and started coming, and it was 52 yards. And there was an opening right there.
A southeast wind, which when you watch it in the video, where they stop, where that doe stops, all the leaves start falling.
Right to her.
They were just like, you were just like flowing that way, like one of them backdrafts.
Kind
of
like what happened to you last year.
Yeah.
So
the snow.
But that buck, he turned and he was following her, and all of a sudden he got behind a tree. Well, he stopped right before that, right after you had grunted, and I seen his horn, and he like looked up our way. And then he took a couple more steps and got behind that tree. That's when I drew back. And he never stepped out. All of a sudden, they just turned and they all spooked and went straight away. But so then we sat there for another half hour or so, and then I was like, "Well, I picked a spot back farther where there was a like where they'd walk through," and I'm like, "That was 53 yards right there," and I bent down, I got my squirrel arrow out, I put one right down through there.
And when he went down there, that's right where all the tracks were that went through.
Yeah. It's like, man. But they were moving pretty good right through that little window.
And that buck is about the same size as the one I shot last year. And, you know, we were walking back. And I told John, like, when we got down and got all of our stuff and got his arrow, I'm like, he's like, we need to go this way. And I'm like, if we just walk that way, we walk that way, like, 70 yards, and then it just got high. We walked up, popped up on the trail, and there's two scrapes right there.
Real nice. That was a nice walk out.
If you look behind those two scrapes, like 17, 18 yards toward the thicket, there's a nasty black cherry tree. Don't climb that.
Yeah.
That is the nastiest, noisiest, squeakingest son of a bitch and tree on the face of the earth.
He told me that.
The bark man. Squeaked.
He goes, man, it's the noisiest tree I've ever been
in my life. God.
He goes, I was in a maple, I think, that morning, and it was probably the quietest tree I've ever been in.
Oh, yeah, I moved over and got in a small double next time. Man.
So we got out of there.
Well, and the walk back, you know, showing John, like, oh, this is where I shot, you know, the deer. Then we were much further back than where I thought we were. And I'm like, no, this is, I'm like, that deer was standing there. There's the tree. There's buck rub. There's all the stuff. But on the walk back, I'm just telling John, I'm like, you hate this property. You hate this property. You hate everything about it. You won't go here, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you just got drawn back on, you know, the hell of a
Did
buck.
Did you take him into the right on there. That?
No. No. But right about there, John's like, hey. He looks down and grabs a leaf, and there's blood on the leaf right there. And he's like, it's wet. He's like, somebody shot something this morning.
Yeah. So then there was cart tracks. So that guy that kid that was in there shot a doe. Mm-hmm. He must have shot it early because by the time we got out, there was a gut pile in the parking lot,
and there was no other
tracks,
truck vehicle tracks at all. Just his.
What Super was he Swampers, driving?
Blue, teal, like your Chevy, yeah. And with like Super Swamper tires. Huh. Real distinct tire tracks, but there was the gut pile with the tits and everything, like, yeah. Right, yeah,
right in the parking lot,
that back corner by where they dug out. So then John, after that hunt in the saddle, he says, "I need a saddle.
Yeah,
I need one." So got one from Trophy Line. They got them in stock, and they ship them in like a day.
Yeah. Well, you ordered it what, Saturday?
Yeah.
And it was here today.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was. So then that afternoon, that wind was coming out of the southeast.
Oh, yeah. I forgot
about this. And it was whipping pretty good. So there's been a spot I've been wanting to go to up north. And I seen a really nice buck shining up there before. The night before opener, and he was on private ag fields, a ton of deer, but there's a big section, like right in between all the private of Manistee National Forest, and it's all marshland, swamp.
Well, I posted the video on Instagram, and it's on Facebook too, but it looks like the shit like that the Hunting Beast guys and like what they go through, like Dan Infault.
Yeah, I hate Dan Infault now. No. I have to give that motherfucker some credit because he is the beast, because after the shit that I went through, I was going to leave my tree stand out there because I was like, I'm not carrying this heavy bastard back.
And what did you tell me? That no one's going to go out there to steal it?
And I'm like, no one's going to ever come out here and steal it. If they did, they can have it. But if they got out there, they'd be like, fuck that. I ain't carrying that heavy thing out of this shit. It was on my track was 3/4 of a mile. And I think it took me an hour and a half to get out there to go 3/4 of a mile. And I was, I don't know if I sent you the video. I took one video like halfway out, and I mean, I'm wearing just a t-shirt, and it was pretty cool out, and it's breezy, but I was sweat all the way through, and it was just a matter. I mean, it's deep water, you know, in that thick ass grass, and it's blown over, so you're, you know, trying to step on the mound, the root balls just to stay up out of the deep water, and then you're tripping on the grass, and then there's logs and shit underneath it, and I stepped on a log at one point, slipped off it, boot down in the mud, stuck. I'm trying to pull it out, but just one, filled it up.
And that's like what we were doing down in the river bottom there. That tall grass is just, it's unbelievable. And, you know, that's the one thing, like you said, like, elk shape versus couch potato shape. Like my buddy Eric, who I was down there with, he's like, we were talking about elk hunting or whatever, and he's like, yeah, I want to go elk hunting. And then when we were on our way back, I'm like, you want to go elk hunting? This is what fucking elk hunting is like, because it was just all blowdowns and tangles and shit, but all that grass. And that's the one thing that I noticed more this year than last year is not like the overland, like mile type stuff, but like going over all the blowdowns and all that stuff, like with your quads and like your hamstrings. Oh my God.
You know, I mean, I was up there earlier and I walked a different section. That's where the story about the Liberty hunt and almost, right. You know, getting shot, whatever. And I walked a different section through that shitty grass. But that, I only went through one section that had the water. But that grass, when it's laid over like that, unless you're going with the way it's laid down, you know.
Yeah, and you wouldn't do that. You want to go into the wind.
Right. So you're going in, so it's laid down all across, and you're going against the grain, and it's just catching your boots, and you're trying to pick up. I mean, it's just miserable. And then I get out into this old tree line. Well, when I got up there, I hadn't been up, you know, I've been out of town, and I hadn't been back up there for a few weeks. Well, all the leaves, that's all them big trees out there are just bare now. So I was like, oh, shit. It looks terrible now. Plus, we've had so much rain that the one road is actually closed. There's water over the road. There's so much water. So I actually talked to one of the property owners that borders the property. I was getting ready, and he pulled over on his quad, and he's like, you going out in there? I'm like, yeah. He's like, that's some pretty gnarly shit out there. He's like, you're going to carry a tree stand? I'm like, yep. He's like, well, good luck. And so I made it out. You know, I got out in there, and there was there's a lot of big trees, and they have a big root ball. And you can see that there's some bedding on it, you know, just a few small, you know, small beds here and there. But, you know, the runways were, they had some pretty fresh sign on it. But I got out, and where I think the buck bedding is was probably another three. Well, I kind of mapped it out on my Onyx. It was just over 300 yards. And I'm like, I'm not going another 300 yards in this and then have to come back in the dark.
Right.
So, plus it was supposed to rain. So, I'm like, well, I'll set up right here, and then I can, you know, glass all of it. And there was, you know, like I said, there was some bedding on it, so I didn't want to just, you know, walk through and then end up bumping them out after all that work anyway. So, I picked out a tree, walked back to the tree, and I was setting up, getting my shit ready, and taking off my shirt once again. And all of a sudden I heard something, and not 20 yards from me, there was a blow down and a big root ball, and a little doe jumped up. So there was deer bedded in there. I don't know if I blew out any other ones, but so I got up in the tree and got my camera arm up, got that all set up, my bow, everything. I go to hook the camera on, and I didn't have the plate. Because that morning, Adam, we used my camera arm, or the camera arm that I use of Adam's. And when we were packing up, he took the
camera off,
and the whole mechanism just poof, went into space. So when we got back, we swapped fluid heads. And he's like, oh, you're going to need this base plate. So he handed it to me. Of course, I set it on, instead of putting it on the camera right away, I just set it on my center console. Well, that's where it was at when I got out. So I lugged that heavy-ass Muddy Pro camera arm, extra few pounds, all for nothing. I got hooked on the tree. And at that point, I was like, oh, son of a bitch.
You've done that a few times.
Yeah. Well, I forgot the camera. I had the camera. I could have just set it on there and, you know, let it fall off into the mud puddles. But so took the camera back off, set it back down, and sat there, and it was just a cold east, I mean, just wicked wind. But then that was about 6:30, just about, you know, prime time. All of a sudden I looked up, and here comes a big old deer. And I had my gloves on and stuff, so I tried to get my phone out. Well, I got my phone out, tried, you know, turning on the camera. Of course, my gloves aren't, you know, iPhone friendly. And then I noticed it was a big doe. And then she's coming out.
And John's been on doe patrol. He's he's on the, I'm going to shoot any old deer.
And this was a big old doe. And then all of a sudden I seen another little doe coming out. So it was a yearling with her. And the whole thing, I'm like, man, I wanted to shoot her. She walked right in. They both did. They walked right down, and they were like, I had stepped on a log. at the bottom, like 10 feet from my tree, and it like peeled some of the moss back. And I don't know if it was something. They both come over right to it and were like nibbling on my boot track. And then all of a sudden, she looked up, and because I had my, you know, there the bottom of my tree, there was only like a foot and a half around it that was dry. And then there was another tree next to it. And I had put my pack at the bottom of that one and leaned it up against it because I didn't want it being in the water. My pack is camouflage. I mean, it's just the frame for my exopack. And then when I let the camera arm down, I let it down and I like right next, and it was actually like leaned over onto it. She all of a sudden, I mean, I was like, I was trying to do it again, get my camera out again, but she was too close to try pulling a glove off at that point. And she looks over at that, and I mean, and she's just staring it down. She's, her head's bobbing back and forth, and she's looking at it, and it, I'm like, man, the way she's looking, I'm like, is there, I turn around and look, make sure there wasn't another deer coming off to, you know, behind me. The way she was acting, nope, she was just, then she stomped a few times and she stepped back, then she walked around and like was going to circle downwind of me, and she got off to my right, and then she just stood there and she just kept like step stomping in a rhythm, just like spoosh, 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 spoosh. Like a dozen times I actually like started cracking up, like, but the little doe was still standing there right at the bottom of the tree, so I don't know if she was trying to get its attention, like, hey, get over here. And then finally it took a couple bounds, and then they just turned and then just walked off, and then walked, they just went out into the edge of that, and then just made their way back to the way I came from. But I'm like, if I would have shot that doe, there was no way I would have got it out of there. And if I would have called anyone to come out there, they would have got halfway out and said, hey, screw you. Because, I mean, maybe for a big buck, but not for a doe.
So, how was the walkout?
So on the walkout, I'm looking at my Onyx, and, you know, it's like, it's all marsh. You know, you can just see it's swamp, swamp, swamp. And then I'm like, well, instead of walking back the way I came, which was swamp all the way, I was going to cut across that. Because it showed that it ended, and you could see it looked like
some sound familiar, Frank?
Higher ground? Yeah. No.
It's water deeper near the high ground.
Oh, God. It was, needless to say, for one, it was pouring down rain. I had to take my rain parka, and I wrapped it around the fanny pack and all my, you know, the camera gear and stuff, and bungee that up. And then, so I just had my, you know, my water-resistant coat on. Which it didn't matter at that point because, I mean, the rain was coming down sideways. I couldn't see because every time I'd breathe, all the heat and my breath was just fogging up the, you know, the atmosphere around me. And I'm grabbing freaking the grass, trying to steady myself, and I end up going over both my boots. And so that, you know, it's bad enough with dry boots, you know, trying to pick your legs up, high stepping. Well, then you add, you know, a pound of water in each fucking boot. I mean, literally, I was like grabbing my pant legs, picking my legs up. And then I'd go about 10 feet, stop. When I got back to the truck, so I packed up, it was like 7 o'clock when I left the tree. And I videoed my boots when I got back, and it was 9 o'clock. And it was on the Onyx, it was 0.67 miles. So just over half a mile. And it took me 2 hours to go through that
shit. But you saved like 0.15 miles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Saved all that distance, man.
Yeah. Took me an extra half hour.
But said you walked up on
some so deer. It was so nasty and gnarly out there. The wind was blowing in the rain that I walked up. As I was starting to get up on the high ground, all of a sudden I seen eyes in front of me, and there was two deer, and they let me get up probably to 20 yards, and then they just kind of wandered off to my left, heading to the east. So I got up on the high ground, and I was heading like southwest, and all of a sudden there's three more deer. And they were so confused, they probably thought, well, sure ain't no human out in that shit, you know? And My wind was blowing right to him at that point, and the one little one took a couple bounds, and it was within 10 yards of me, and turned and was facing the opposite way. Like, I'm shining it, my light's shining on it, and past it, and it's looking like at its shadow. Like, I probably could have walked up and jumped on the damn thing. And finally, it, like, spun around, turned, and took off. Well, then the big doe come over, and she, like, did almost the same thing. She come right up and stood right in front of me, but she was looking at me. But, you know, they were so confused at what the hell I was. They just, it was pretty comical.
I've never seen anybody come out of that
swamp. Yeah, like, what the hell?
It sounds like you need to hunt the high ground, John.
Hmm. Yeah.
You got to go where the deer are, not where you want them to be, Frank.
Well, that's the beauty of this time of year. They're coming out.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, the wind lined up like perfectly because, like, you know, that spot right there, looking on the map when John showed it to me, and he's like, it's kind of like one of those things like where I end up back there in that water and all that bullshit and whatnot. Is you look at it and you go, I saw this deer here. It's a big deer, and that's where he's going to be, is right there, which was, you know, maybe 300 yards from where he was, but it was even probably where that deer lives is probably even further across all the bullshit.
Right.
But you can see these runways coming right off of this nasty ass shit, but you have to go, you have to endure all that shit to do it. And I mean, that's how these deer get that big. Right.
Well, that's what that landowner is saying. He's like, he gun hunts, his brother gun hunts, you know, all the guys around there. There's a hunting club on the north side, and this is a monster buck. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. It looked like a freaking mule deer. Like, he has a really distinct rack, and for him to get that big around all that, he's living in some of the gnarliest shit. And that's what that guy said. He's like, you're going, he's like, my brother sits on the edge and hunts that. He's like, he watches guys walk out there, and he just watches the deer walk out the other sides from him as they walk into it, you know? And so
you just got to catch them coming out of there. You can't,
right. You got to sneak in there. You got to sneak in and set up right, you know, have the right wind, which it was a perfect wind.
And the rain actually helped.
Yeah.
You know,
but.
I mean, to a certain extent.
No.
And I mean, in the.
But it could have been the greatest story ever.
Sure.
I mean, it could have been.
Yeah.
I fucking knew it, you know? Yeah. And you can't kill him if you're not there.
Call a Coast Guard and have them come get me, will you?
Yeah.
Send in a hovercraft.
Well, yeah.
Bring one gurney for me and one for the deer.
Yeah,
please.
One for the deer and one for me.
But yeah, it would have been. It would have been one hell of a story getting him out of there.
You'd have been quartering them up, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that is cookie cutter, like, what you're looking for, and it, you know.
And, I mean, it gave me even more confidence that that's where he's at, because there's, I mean, they're, like, the doe and that yearling, they come right from that area. So, you know, that buck's going to hold out until last light. He's not going to move until dark. You know, and they're using that corridor to get out through there and then get over to those ag fields.
And now, yeah, I mean, he's going to start coming with them does.
Right.
And, you know, John was just a little bit off, but
yeah.
Now, I mean, with the saddle and you're
right, you're, yeah. So
you're
I
understanding it now, you can shave a little bit of weight.
I'm going to shave a lot of weight.
I shaved a lot of weight this year.
I'm going to get some ultralight freaking waders is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll.
I'm not even going to use hip boots because I'll end up going over them eventually too.
we used always hunted in hips, didn't we, Aaron?
Well, we did a lot of hunting
in hip boots, but you know, and I left them in the creek a couple times. One day I was trying to cross in that real thick mud, you know.
Oh, I
stepped in and I kind of jumped forward, pulled my hip boot off, and it was still in the muck.
It reminds me, you know, when you say that, when we were hunting up Pentwater, I don't think he had hip boots on, but Ernie almost got swallowed up by the cattail marsh.
Yeah. Remember the day you went in there?
Oh, yeah. Wise ass me. I tried to cut a little
cut the corner.
Cut the corner.
You know, I've seen deer walk through there.
Oh, yeah.
I stepped in the wrong spot, boy. Went right up to my, well, damn near my sack. Had to put my bow out, lean on it, get on a clump or so, and then it was vacuumed. My whole boot. I had just 14 inches on. So I'm fighting it, working it, burying my hand down, fighting it, working it. I worked up a hell of a sweat just getting my boot out of there. Went over, got in the stand, poured the water out, wrung my socks out, put it all back on, hunted till 10:30 or something like that.
Cold, dude. And I was looking at him, I'm going, what the hell happened to you? You know?
Wow.
Oh, yeah. He was all muck and everything, man, on the outside of his pants.
I would have probably been better off, like, in fall, just taking my boots off and walk through that shit. It would have been a lot lighter.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Holy cow, that was gnarly. I'm still sore.
And then, Frank, you had a pretty cool hunt here behind the house. I forgot about that.
Well, the one morning I went out there, I hunted an evening and saw a big doe and a couple of young ones. And then I got a good wind, and I snuck out there in the morning and got up a tree. Now, it wasn't where I wanted to be, but ended up being pretty good spot. And
why were you hunting out there?
What's that?
Why were you hunting out there?
Because of you mean the sign?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a ton of deer sign out there. Just deer sign and, you know, buck sign. And I'd been out there when I saw the doe and the two young ones, there wasn't anything out there. Well, then that morning, like I said, I walked out there, and I wanted to hunt that edge, but I couldn't find a tree right there, so I moved a little bit farther to the south, and I got up the tree, and it was still before daylight, and I got everything set. I had my bow on I got a hanger right on the upper part of my stand, you know, bow holder, and I put it on there, and I'm sitting there going, man, my top of my stand is too far down. You know, my knees are going to be up in the air when I'm sitting in my seat. So I might as well change it. So I hung the bow back up on the tree, unhooked my fanny pack, which I'd put around the tree, put the fanny pack back on, lifted the top part of the stand up, you know, that extra 8 inches or whatever it was, 6-8 inches, settle it back in. I just reached down to unhooked my fanny pack, and I heard something behind me. I turned around, and there's a buck standing there looking at me at 10 yards. He'd come to the noise, you know. But so he turns and took off, you know, and I thought, well, crap, you know. So I sat there until, I don't know, 10:30. And he was the only deer I saw. So I got down, and then I looked. I went back over there where I'd hunted, saw the doe and the two little ones. And it's tore up. Everything's just tore up. And there's buck rubs all over and scrapes and deer tracks. And I thought, enough of this. So I went out. I think it was that same morning or the next day that I called you. I called Ernie anyways. I said, Ernie, you got to come over and help me put a tent up out here.
Yeah, we brushed, you know? brushed in a tent.
So we put the tent in. I think it was that day we put it in. And then I hunted it the next morning, and I sat in that tent, and I'm not too fond of them, but I mean, it's, you know, it's the only place you can hunt right there, really. So I'm sitting in this tent, and it's still dark, like, out, you know, and you can see a little bit, and I think it's the same buck. He come right down the center of this little spot that I'm in right there, and I sent it up pretty hard coming in. And he hit my scent trail, and he stopped right there, and he put his head down, and he was like 15 yards. And I'm looking at my bow, and I can't see my pins. You know, I didn't even pick the bow up. I was looking, and I'm going, man, I can't even see my pin.
It's because you're in a tent.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
There's no light.
You know,
no
light in tent. So, and he kind of spooked a little bit, you know. Like, he didn't like the scent for some reason, you know, but he went to the north. Couple seconds go by, you know, and I thought, well, I better hook my release on at least, you know. So I hooked my release on. I got the bow on my lap, like, you know. I looked back where the deer came from, and I said, oh, wow, here comes another one, you know. I got to look, and I said, that ain't no deer, man. That's a big old coyote, you know. Coyote come in. He knew something was up right away, you know. I mean, like, he was tracking that deer, I think, you know, but he stopped right over there, sensed, you know, or seen the tent or something, you know. And he starts cutting across then, like he's going to go across to this trail. And something else caught my eye, and I looked, well, that buck could come back, and he's backtracking me then out toward the trail. And I said, and he's going to meet this, you know,
coyote
right there, you know. And I see the deer standing there, and the coyote's getting closer and closer to him. And, man, I mean, he's like right in front of him, maybe 15 feet. And the deer, I see the buck looking at him, and his whole ass just, see all that white hair frizz up, you know, and his tail was up in the air. Kind of put his head down, man. He went right after that coyote, man. I mean, right after that dude. And that coyote left. I mean, immediately. He just took off, you know. And from then until about 9:30, I saw 9 deer all together. 4 of them were bucks. That coyote, and then a dog. Yeah.
No shooters? Or no shots?
They were all shooters.
They were all shooters, actually. You know?
Just didn't have
even the dog.
I could have. I had that doe, great big doe, and then a must be her last year's fawn, and then 2 young ones with them. Mm-hmm. They were in front of me at one time. It was about 12 yards. She was standing there looking at me in the tent, stomping. None of them snorted or anything like that, but just stomped a foot, you know, kept putting it down, you know, look at me. And then before they had come in, a button buck and a doe came in, and the button buck went over to this thorn apple tree, little thorn apple tree, and was licking on it. Well, then one of the little fawns was over there on its hind legs. Up in that tree. So it's a, you know, community deal, you know. But they were right by my scent bomb and everything, and they were there forever, man. And finally, you know, she decided she walked off. She left. But and then I saw another buck. And how I got those deer over there was I saw them at quite a distance. So I thought, well, I'm going to, you know, I'll do a little grunt, you know. So I did the can call 3 times and grunted. Well, they all come bounding out of the stuff, you know, and then they're kind of all looking around. Well, then I see there was a buck standing over on the trail, and I thought he chased another buck, but it could have been a doe. And they went down through the opening down, you know, while all these other deer walked down there. So I just thought they were gone. Well, then they all came in, them 4, you know. But that was a hell of a morning.
Yeah, he texts me, I'm at work, and he's like, there's deer everywhere. He's like, dogs, coyotes.
Man, it was just like all kinds of stuff happening, you know.
And I sat out there the other day after the rain, figuring that they were going to come freshen up them scrapes, and had them same 4 does come through there. But I wish I would have known what you'd the whole story, because you're like right at 9:30. Well, that's when the deer were there, was at 9:30, and they were there for 45 minutes. Doing the same thing, but they were south of me, and it was a northwest wind. And they were not really digging it, but I don't know.
Well, that spot, you get a lot of that blowback in there too, you know, and swirling stuff, you know, because you got the high trees, a ridge over here, you know, and then you got pretty thick stuff behind you.
But I figured that those, I mean, I would have shot a doe, but I figured that those would have to get a pass considering that he didn't shoot them. Because he's kind of trigger happy, so no, it's been fun. I've been really enjoying the filming aspect of it, like being able to like go out and film, you know, John with them.
Now, did you get them on camera too?
Yeah,
yeah,
yep, yep. And I actually bought a different camera. My cousin Ben from the Michigan Whitetail Pursuit had been using this Panasonic Lumix FZ300. It's like a bridge camera, so it's not a DSLR, and It's not. It's kind of like a fancy point and shoot, but it shoots 4K. But more importantly, it's splash proof, dust proof, you know, shock proof. And after those first two sets where it was torrential downpour, and I mean, you know, last year that's why I didn't film anymore after I tried to cut the corner and fell down in the water.
That's all I could think about getting out of there was me, you know, because I got a couple of those holes where my boot stuck, and then I was like losing my balance of that heavy ass tree stand pulling back, and I'm literally grabbing the grass.
Well, that's exactly like, what happened to me last year.
Sploosh.
And you know that XOP setup, like while I love the tree stand and I love the way that the sticks stack together, the way that they go on there, like that shark fin off the back, it puts all the weight, you know.
Yeah, it's pushing it away from your body.
It's away from your body, and then like when you start to go,
yeah,
I mean, it's all you can do not to fall over. Especially, so, I mean, with that much shit,
right? So I we never did post a picture, but I end up splitting my sticks and have two and two, and I lay them on kind of like they do with the Lone Wolf Custom, how they have them mm-hmm. set on, one on each side of the seat, and then strap them over, and you know, of course, I'm using it on my XOP frame, so it has the straps to cinch it down tight so they're not clinking around. Plus, I put the camera gear and bungees and all that shit. But so it helps keep the load closer to your body, so you're not.
Yeah, but 52 pounds is 52 pounds. I mean,
yeah,
that's
way too much for me. I mean, like I said, I told you, I mean, I was.
Well, that's why you wanted the saddle, because you're yeah, like.
I'm afraid that I'm going to end up, you know, throw my back out to the point where my hunt will be done for the year. Just one step, you know, you get a freaking, you know, especially out of that shit where I was going. That's what I was thinking about the whole time. Especially when I stepped on that log underneath the water and then slid out and like fell down on my knee. Luckily, I like kind of fell down and forward instead of back, but it don't take much to, you know, twist your back up.
Sounds like some of the stuff we used to do when we were younger.
Oh, right? Lord. You know,
like the one day I
now
come out.
Now it's like we look at those spots and yeah, we go, wow, that's a nice haven for deer.
Yeah.
Where are we going spot for lunch?
We're not going in there.
We're not going in there.
I come out of a patch of stuff one day. Ernie was standing there, and did I have my wool shirt on? Or did I have
You had that fuzzy suit you had.
Teddy bear suit.
And believe me, when those quarter sized, big gnarly balls burrs with the little burrs on them touch it,
yeah,
it like engulfs them. Yeah. He come out, I couldn't even tell what color his suit was, it was all brown. He had so many of these on him,
they actually act like
I'd have thrown it
when
away.
You're in there, yeah. If you come within a foot of them, they just whoop, they suck right to you.
I just
they
had to sit right and look, and I'm going, I can't believe
I've
what I
never
see
had that much crap on me before in my life.
And I'd have thrown it away,
and I thought. You know?
That was amazing.
I thought that was a good idea going in there, but it really wasn't. You know?
Yeah. Did you walk through that CRP just straight through it in Ohio? Because I came out looking like the exact
yeah,
same.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, the first time I went through that stuff, man, it was like, I thought, it's probably like chest high.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Chest high to, what was his name? Andre the Giant, you know?
Yeah.
Dude.
I we're getting ready here to head to Missouri, and I'm looking on the map, and I'm seeing these CRP fields and stuff like that, and I'm going like, yeah, I won't be walking around.
Nah.
I won't be walking through there. No.
Well, some of the stuff we've seen this spring wasn't nearly as high as some of that we've seen.
Did you go to the center of it?
No, we just talked about that.
No, we didn't.
No. I mean, I'm still a walker. I mean, I still go.
It's quite a bit deeper.
I don't mind the walking part.
I'm not quite as tough as I was.
I don't mind the walking part at all. It's all the bullshit that's in between that you got to go through.
First thing I decide is, man, if I kill a deer there, am I going to kill myself getting it out? If the answer is no, I'll hunt it.
Right.
The answer is yes. I'll get as close as I can. Well, I should probably bring up this last Friday morning up at deer camp.
Yeah?
Yeah. Took Bradley up there.
My stepson. The ghost blind?
Yeah. Did we talk at all about that? Mm-mm. Other than the fact? Well, he had that ghost blind. He was hunting out where we hunted earlier this year. He's seen all those bucks. Well, he come home from the UP early. I told him I was going to deer camp. He says, I said, you want to go? I said, Frank's staying home. He's going to hunt behind the house because it's all tore up. He said, heck yeah, I'll go, you know. So the first place I take him was Thursday night. Went way back. Wet. Had to be careful not to go over your boots. Took him way back there. We seen nothing. He sat. Good buck sign. Come all the way back out. And he says, well, I can hunt tomorrow morning, but I got to be home. Meet with the print dude at 2 o'clock. I said, oh, you want to hunt something that we can get in and get out? Yep. I said, all right. So I took him 100 yards off the road, up Tarvey Road, to a marsh, a kind of an elongated marsh, and I knew what end to set him. I took him right in there, set him up against some little white pines, put his little blind up. I said, this is where it's happened in the past. I just took off, went south. I didn't want to go too far. I did see one light. I backed off, found a couple big scrapes, sat right on the ground. Couldn't get in the tree. Just figured I'd just sit there and let him hunt. Well, he probably should have took a camera because he texted me, says, big buck in a doe, pushing a doe right behind me. I says, I couldn't shoot, couldn't get a shot. I said, all right, hang in there. And wasn't long, and I heard that crossbow go off, Excalibur. I go, whoa, kind of startled me a little bit. Onyx says I was about 130 yards away from him, but so he shot, and all of a sudden I heard the water blowing up. I seen something coming at me, and all of a sudden it slowed down, and I seen it was a buck, and he did a chest dive into the last little bit of water before it comes up on the higher ground, and the water sprayed with the sun hitting off it. It went up in the air 15 feet. That deer did a big old flop and laid there, and I go, that is one of the neatest things I ever seen. So I just texted him. I said, that was you, wasn't it? And he texted me back, yeah, just shot a nice buck. Oh, 8 or a 10. I said, let you know in a minute. He's right here by me. Went over there. 10, dude. So he shoots this 13, just 13-incher, but nice 10-point. He is just jacked. So he had a ball. Another public land success.
Oh, yeah.
He said the one he seen earlier was even bigger. I mean, this is 100 yards off of asphalt road.
Yeah.
I
tried to explain that to you guys sometimes. You don't
it's just amazing. It's just the wind was right, and I said, I know this place, Brad. You need to sit right here. That was cool.
Well, I mean, for the amount of bucks that Ernie's seen this year, the motherfucker needs a camera.
Yeah.
And we've been talking to you about it, and you say, well, you got to get a couple deer under your belt first. Well, I mean, you got one, so what do you need?
Apparently a camera.
Need some gas money for Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to be filming the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, we're headed to Missouri for a week or so. And then these guys are headed to Nebraska. But I'm going to be filming the whole thing. You know, probably just the recoveries on Frank's deer.
Well, the beauty of it is, I mean, if one of us fortunately score relatively early, then, man, that'd be cool as hell because I'm all for, you know, having someone filming or me filming, and that makes it apparently so much easier because what I've noticed about what you guys are trying to do and what I've seen, self-filming.
Self-filming is no joke. Suck. Those guys that do it are... Oh, yeah, they're legit. I mean, I give them credit.
Oh, man.
It's tough.
Yeah, they do a good job, boy, when they can, you know.
Just trying to focus on that little screen and make sure the deer.
Yeah. Well, that's the hard
part.
But,
I mean, you get such a nicer video and tracking and stuff when you have that extra person. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really looking forward to it, and I think, you know, realistically, we made a huge jump forward this year from years past. John last year was diligent, but I haven't went out without a camera or three, you know, yet. And I've been in a tree with you, Frank, and I've been in a tree with you, John. Man, it's just so close. But
the only day you sat with Frank was probably the only day them deer never come down through that
spot. No, they didn't either.
But that was amazing.
But they went just right around us because we got down and went over 100 yards and kicked two of them up right there. So,
yeah.
And I think we heard them go by because Frank was trying to grunt at them and this and that. But, I mean, I'm excited because, I mean, just from this conversation, I mean, I don't know, freaking...
Well, I'm going to go in the morning and hopefully kill some.
Hundreds of deer.
Scouted out a new spot and then got that new saddle today. So I did hunt this evening in it.
I haven't hunted since that other day. I've got this cold and been coughing. And
now we're all going to get it.
Yeah, you guys are screwed. I'm on the tail end of it now.
Yeah, just trying to get on the men for your big trip, Missouri. Then yeah. Nebraska.
Yeah.
Like that's, I mean, going to Missouri, I'm excited. I want to see some good deer and whatnot, but I want Frank to shoot a big one by anybody's standards. And I want to get some good video of some deer and have a good time. You know, it's always fun.
From the stuff that we've seen just, you know, short time we were out there this spring, you know, and, you know, some of the information we've gathered and stuff and got. I think, you know, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm excited.
I just want to get in the vicinity. You know, I'm not
right about 20, 25 yards.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Then we'll see the
no, because I don't have like
the deer standing there again and then you see the lightning bolt hit them.
Well, I'll tell you what, this first year I shot them light knocks. You know, I'm not one to change much that often. You know, I shot a whisker biscuit for a lot of years.
Yeah.
Things like that. Good product, but I don't change very often. You got to really prove something to me to get me to change. So, like that strap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but boy, I shot that lighted knock. That's amazing because it's not only got the purpose of, oh my gosh, I shot that right where I wanted to. But I mean, I'm down there tracking and Frank's over there by me. He cut the corner like seen my light. He said, well, where'd you shoot? I go, right back there. Big old red knock.
I seen the red light from his knock when I walked up that out of that where I was at down in the swamp. I come up on that trail and I thought, he must have left his headlight over there with the red light on it, you know. And then he's got another light with him out there. And when I walked out.
I walked out to him,
you know.
Lighted knock.
And I said, what'd you do, man? Did you leave your other headlight back there? He goes, what are you talking about? That's my knock, dude. I'm going, you can't be serious. That thing looked like a stoplight out there, dude.
And if you had to use them for something, they're a man.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you can even take one out. In a pinch, you can take one out of your arrows.
Yeah.
Turn it on with your string and stick it up on your freaking pins to light them up.
Oh, yeah.
If you have like the little fiber optics coming out the side, you can clip it right on it. I mean, of course, you got the light, you know, bobbing around. But
I wonder if they'd clip over the wall of that hoop.
Could. Try it, but. I mean, in a pinch.
I don't know, but that thing is super bright, man. I know that.
I can tell you this, and, you know, kudos to John, but I showed that impact video to a bunch of people of that deer that I shot, and I would say a half dozen of them, 10 of them or so, have been like, are you shooting all white fletches? Because, you know, that deer takes off with that arrow in there, and there's no doubt, like, what's going on. It's got a green lit knock. But it's got 4 inches of
white
fletching right. Just waving around. Yeah. And you can see like exactly what's going on.
That's why I've tried to shoot bright fletches always, you know.
I've always shot either white or green. I mean, I shot green before I before social media and
before Dudley. John Dudley did.
Yeah. I shot
original Green Fletcher over here.
The one I shot in the UP that time was blue and pink, hot pink.
And you can see that right next to that deer's sphincter from a long ways away.
35 yards, at least. I thought he was 35. He might have been a little bit more.
Oh, my gosh. Another story for another day. But, yeah, that's kind of where we're at with what's going on. You know, this far into the season and going to, I mean, I'd say when it's starting to get good here. At least John and I have made some definite equipment changes, and so I have some updates on that as far as camera arm, John going to the saddle, and I switched up my climbing sticks, and Erniel is going to be doing standing sticks for the first time here in Missouri. Probably should have did that one or two sits here.
I put it on a tree in my yard.
I mean, that being said, John did take the trophy line saddle out of the box today and hunted in it just like that. You need to talk about your platform today.
Oh, yeah, I was in such a rush, so excited that, you know, it came in time. I picked it up from Adams. It was like 3 o'clock, which I was running late. Got home. Did the unboxing of it and literally ran in the house, changed my clothes, ran out, grabbed it, threw it in the truck. And in the meantime, I forgot the Wild Edge steps on the workbench. And I remembered them about a mile down the road. And I was like, I'm already late. I don't have time. I'll just deal with it.
XOP sticks.
XOP.
One-sided steps.
One-sided step. So the tree I went up, I'm like, well, there's like a little knot and a half dead broke off limb. And so I just put the top step like right even with that shit. And it was a little bit sketchy, but.
Yeah. I asked John, I was like, so what did you think of the trophy line? And he says, it'd have been a lot better if I'd have remembered the steps. But yeah. So, you know, throughout the rest of the season, we'll have some updates on, gear changes and kind of, you know, figuring out our systems as it plays out. But
eventually, I mean, after using those Wild Edge steps with your saddle, I think that they're so nice when you're like loading up to go. I mean, you just take it off, put it in the pouch, just slides down in, go down, take it off, slide it in the pouch. Get down to the bottom of the tree, stuff all the rope in, zip it up, and you're done. You know, I mean, the sticks, of course, you put a stick up, you're only putting four of them up, and you got three, you know, whatever, two or three, whatever size of those you're using, but, you know.
The amount of bulk.
Right. You know, those XOP sticks, what are they, 30 inch?
34.
34 inch, which I'm a tall guy, so I put them on my pack vertical. And so when you're crawling through the shit like Adam and I did, you will hang up a little bit, but
never made the connection.
but yeah. So
I mean, like I said, everything is we're not like dialed into like this is what my system is going to be. But I can tell you with that way that my platform on the top of that stick is, I mean, you set that last stick and you just climb up there and tether in. And then, I mean, I'm unloading my stuff and it's pretty convenient. I mean, I guess I was thinking about it today and I would equate it to kind of like hunting with a climber, you know, because when you get up to whatever your height is, you're already there. You don't have to hang anything else on. You don't have to do whatever. But the amount of like freedom, you know, it's that age old thing. And, you know, so I've heard a lot of guys say, if I know where I'm going and I know that they're straight trees, like where we are hunting, that's why I brought that climber base, you know, because I, you know, I don't have my good climber and it's just, I was committed to hunting from the saddle. But if you knew that, you could just bring whatever you wanted to. But if you were going, like when we were going to Missouri, and it's a bunch of hills and it's just going to be a shit ton of walking, you know, if you had the system dialed in, it would be, you know, a handful of wild edge steps and a saddle in your backpack and just go and just be done with it.
Yeah. You know? I mean, yeah. After using yours and then even tonight, I mean, of course, like I said, I didn't have the wild edge steps with, but man, I'm excited to hunt in the morning. I mean, I went and scouted a new spot this morning, found some good sign, found some bedding, found some turkeys too. Almost had a shot at a turkey.
Well, hell, if you get in there early enough tomorrow morning, you can shoot a doe and a turkey.
That's mm-hmm. what I'm thinking. Maybe even a buck. I found some rubs and a scrape.
Combo hunt.
Yeah,
he's gonna have all of his tags filled tomorrow.
It is in my county where I have my tag, so I'm just gonna shoot them until they stop coming in.
How's the pack out?
Oh, it wouldn't be bad.
For all of them?
Yeah. A
lot easier than the other night.
Yeah. Take the whole family out.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, I think that's kind of all we got. We got a lot of things coming up here, but just wanted to give you an update of kind of like where our season's been. It seems like forever since we sat down and done one of these. And I mean, for me, it's just nice having somebody else here to do a podcast with me again, because John's been gone, Frank's been sick, and you know, and hunting season is difficult. So, you know, that's pretty much all we got for you, and we'll keep you updated. Follow along with us on Instagram. I'm gonna be doing some stuff when we go to Missouri, and I'm gonna be filming that whole thing. So, check it out, and you know, check out our YouTube. I've got some videos that are gonna be going up here pretty soon. But yeah, that's kind of all we've got. And thanks for following along.
See ya.
Good luck.
Yeah.
And sit down.